Begin the current daf, Masechta Zavodah daf Lamed Ches. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the discussion from the previous daf. That is, our Gemara was explaining one of the items mentioned in our previous Mishnah regarding what's forbidden to have consumption from a non-Jew, but it's not forbidden in benefit, is Hashalakas, which is more commonly known as Bishalakim, food that was cooked by a non-Jew, so that it keeps us away that they don't service things that are not kosher and other distances between Jews and non-Jews. So now the Gemara qualifies what is considered in the parameters of this prohibition of bishalakim. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Amar Rav, he says, Kol anechel kamay shulchai, anything that's eaten in its raw state, ein bo mishum bishulei abdikachavim, that's not in the category, even if it was cooked, to be forbidden because of bishalakim, since one would eat it raw anyway, even though it's cooked by a non-Jew, that's not prohibited to eat. Says the Gemara, Besura masnu hachim, Sura, they taught this version of this teaching. But in Pumbedisa Masnu Hachim, in Pumbedisa, they taught the same teaching in a different variation. That Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Amar Rav, Kol she'einu nechel al shulchan melachim, whatever is not eaten on a table of nobility, of kings, of distinguished people, lalafas by a sapas to be used as condiment for when eating bread, ein by mishum bishul yabdi kachavim, that would not qualify for bishul akum. That's not a significant type of a cooking, because since melachim, kings wouldn't use this food on their table, so it's not so significant, that's not in the category of bishul akum. Says the Gemara, my b'nai, what's the difference between these two different versions of what they taught in Surah or Pumbedisa in this teaching of Rav? Says the Gemara, ik b'nayum, the difference between them are, for example, dogim gitanim, small fish, the ardi and mushrooms, v'daisa and porridge, where these items are not eaten raw, but they're also not so significant, they're not eaten on the tables of kings. So according to the first version, it would be problematic because of bishlakim, because they're not eaten in a raw state. According to the second version, they would be permitted, because since they're not put on shulchan shamalachim, it's not significant enough to be considered in the iser of bishlakim. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi Marav, says, Dagim ketanim aluchim, small salted fish, which are eaten as they are in their raw state with salted, so even if one were to cook those fish, it would not be problematic of bishul akum that herring, which is just salted and it's eaten that way. So even if one were to cook it, again, like we said before, that would not classify it as a problem of bishul akum. Moreover, Amar Rabbi Yisabi says, if a non-Jew roasts that fish, a Jew could rely on that food to use as an Erev Tavshilin. The halacha of Erev Tavshilin is that one is not allowed to cook on Yom Tov to Shabbos, but if one had already prepared beforehand, one could cook on Yom Tov and then can have that food for Shabbos. Now, one has to already prepare from before Yom Tov a cooked food to be able to cook on Yom Tov. Now, this fish, this salted fish, if a non-Jew cooks it, so then this is a food that was cooked, and one could set it aside to say that the cooking already was already started. But generally, that's a problem if a non-Jew cooks it, because then it makes it into bishul akum. And that says the Gemara, although he's cooking it and making it into an Erev Tavshilin, it's not a problem of bishul akum, because since the salted fish would be eaten in its raw state anyway, so then that doesn't classify it as bishul akum. However, says the Gemara, v'yavdinu oivit kechavim kasa v'harsna. But if, let's say, the non-Jew didn't just roast that salted fish, he actually made it into this dish, this specialty item called kasa d'harsna, which they would take the fish and fry it in its murius, which is the fats of the fish, with flour, that would be us. That would be forbidden. Technically, if a Jew did it, it would be a good Erev Tavshilin. But since the non-Jew did it, that would be forbidden. Obviously, that's bishul akum in the flour, which is not eaten in its raw state, and that's something that would make it into something prohibited of bishul akum. Says the Gemara, no, because mao detamin, well, would you say harsin the ikar, then maybe that it's actually the harsin the part, the murius, the fish fat, which is eaten in its raw state, as the salted fish is. That's the primary part of the dish, and since that's the ikar, and that would be eaten in its raw state, therefore there's no problem of bishul akum on this dish. Kamash Malan, that's what Rav Yisus is teaching, Kimcha Iker. No, actually the flour part is the primary. And on the flour, there is a problem with bishul akum, because flour is not eaten in its raw state, and now the non-Jew is cooking it, that makes this dish prohibited because of bishul akum. Now the Gemara quotes a halacha that seems to be related to what we were talking about. Amar Rav Breina Amar Rav, he says, Eivik kechavim shehitzis esu'ur ba'agam. A non-Jew that lights a fire on marshland, on like swampy type of a land, where he wants to clear all that what's in that area. So he just lights it on fire, it'll burn everything up. So all the grasshoppers that are there in that meadow, in that swampy land, which they got singed and they got burnt and they got cooked because of the fire that was lit, and because the grasshopper doesn't have to be slaughtered, asurin, they're prohibited. So the Gemara says, what's the case talking about? If you're going to say that it's the reason why all the grasshoppers are forbidden because now they're totally singed and burned, you can't tell which one's the kosher grasshopper, which one's not. So my area of gechavim, why are you saying it specifically if a non-Jew lit the meadow on fire? If Yisrael Nam, even the Jew, it doesn't make a difference who. It's just because we can't recognize which is the kosher, which is the non-kosher grasshopper. So ela rather, it's mishum bishuli over the gechavim. Seemingly the reason why this halacha would be unique to a non-Jew is because the problem is when he burns up the whole area, the grasshoppers were cooked by the non-Jew. And that's a problem with Bishalakim. That says the Gemara, Kiya Gam Nami Aser, is that really prohibited in such a situation? But V'amr Avchan Bar Amr Ptaz Amr B'yechan, and he says, Hayev Kachavim, regarding this non-Jew, the Chorach Reisha that singes the head of an animal, where because they don't want all the hair on there, so they burn it off, not in the sense of cooking, just getting rid of all the hair. Shari lemechel minei, you could eat from the head of that animal. Afilim reish une, even from the tip of its ears, meaning because the ears are very soft and it gets roasted when it gets singed. And even so, that ear is going to be permitted, since the non-Jew, when he was burning the head, was not intending to cook. Alma lavui sar kemacham, we see, because obviously his intention was just to get rid of the hair and not to cook. So says the Gemara, Zahachinami, here also in the case that we're discussing, Lagluyi Agmo Kamachavim. This person, this non-Jew, is not intending to roast all the grasshoppers and all the trees. He wants to clear out the meadow. So that's why he's doing it. So that should not be considered an act of Bishal. So therefore, it should be permitted and not be considered Bishal Akam. So says the Gemara, you're right. La'ilam de la yada haitar v'haitami. You're right. The reason why for this halacha, why the grasshoppers are forbidden, is because they just get burned beyond recognition. You don't know which one's the kosher one, which one's the non-kosher one. And essentially, that halach would be even if it was a Jew who lit the meadow on fire. The incident that happened to have been with a non-Jew. That's why they quoted that way. But it's just because you can't recognize which one's kosher and which one's not. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to quote the halacha that was mentioned in the previous Gemara's discussion. Gufa, Amar Rabbi B'chana, and the Girsa is, as we mentioned before, it's Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Pedas, Amar B'yechanan. Hi, Ivy Kachavim the Chorish Resha, non-Jew that singes the head of an animal. Shari Lamechem, and that one could eat from that animal, Afilim Reshun, even from the tip of the ears, even though it's getting cooked by the non-Jew, but that's not what he's coming to do. That's not qualified as Bishalakim. So Amar Avin, he says, Hilkach, therefore, hi, Ivy Kachavim. So regarding a non-Jew, the Shadda Sichta Latuna, that he put a peg into an oven to dry up in that oven, the Kavaba Yisrael Karmi Kara, and before the non-Jew did that, the Jew went and he hid in the oven a raw gourd, pumpkin, before the oven was heated up. Now, then he hid it there in the oven. Then the non-Jew comes and he heats up the oven, and that will then cook the gourd, the raw pumpkin that the Jew had put in. Says Ravina, shaper dummy. So then that gourd is going to be permitted to be eaten by the Jew, since the non-Jew did not intend to cook. And we said, Bishalakam is only when he intends to cook. Here he's just heating up a peg. He wants to go ahead and heat it up, and they weren't going to cook anything. So although he did cook the Jew's gourd, but since that wasn't his intention, just like the ear of the head of that animal is going to be permitted here also. So the Gemara is Peshitta, obviously, but that's exactly the same halacha like Rabbi Yechonon. What's Ravina extending that? Says the Gemara, Ma'adat him, what would you say that this non-Jew, Levishule Manukam Achav, no, he actually is intending to heat up the oven for cooking purposes. How so? He's, quote, cooking that peg, that utensil. Kamash Balan, that's what Ravina's teaching, that there's no bishul by utensils. Rather, l'shruri manukam achavan, his intention is only to strengthen and harden the peg, and his intention is not to cook it, although it's being put in the oven, and therefore the non-Jew is not doing any act of cooking, and therefore the gourd that's hidden in there is permitted for the Jew to consume. Continues the Gemara, Amrav Huda Meshmul, Hineach Yisrael basar gabi gecham, if a Jew put meat on the coals, and then the non-Jew comes and flips it over, as one does when one's cooking. Mutter, that meat is going to be permitted to be consumed by the Jew. Ask the Gemara, Hechadim, what's the case talking about? If you say that without the non-Jew turning it over, the meat that the Jew put on the coals would have cooked, it's a pshita, obviously. It's the Jew that did the cooking. Elalav, rather, isn't it talking about? The Eloi hafach lo have a bashal. Had the non-Jew not flipped it over, the meat would never have cooked. Then am I mutter? Then why is it permitted? Bishuli of the gechavnin, it's being cooked by a non-Jew. Says the Gemara loy tzricha. No, it's necessary that it's talking about the ilay hapach. If the non-Jew had not turned over the meat, have a bushel b'tar tishay, it would have taken longer. It would have cooked in 2 hours. V'hashtek a bushel b'chadashay. Now because the non-Jew flipped it over, it's going to cook in 1 hour. Now the tamer, what would you say? Karevi bishuli milsehi, that making something cooked in a quicker amount of time is considered significant, and as if the non-Jew is cooking it. That's what the halacha is teaching us, that since the Jew is the one who's cooking it, and it would have cooked with his act of cooking, although the non-Jew flipped it over, made it quicker, that's not considered a problem of bishalakim. And that is the Gemara. But V'omer Basir Rabbi Yechanan, he said the following halacha. He says, Kol shu kamaycha ben drisoy. Any food that's in the type of food that ben drisoy, who was a bandit, would eat, and he would eat things, because he was always on the run, he would eat things that was just cooked a little bit, whether it be a third or half of it. So if it's already cooked that amount, which is the barest minimum that a food would be considered edible, so then if a non-Jew cooks the rest of it, that's not considered bishlakim because it's already qualified as cooked already to its barest minimum. That's Rabbi Asi Amir Yechanan's halacha. Now the inference is, let's say a food was not cooked even that amount, and then a non-Jew cooks the rest of it, sounds like that wasn't considered cooked yet. And therefore, yesh b'mishum b'shuli av t'kacham, that would qualify as a problem of the non-Jew being considered as cooking it. So that seems to contradict the halacha that we just said. The halacha made it sound like the Jew puts the meat on the coals. Now, it would cook, but it cooked just for 30 seconds. And then the non-Jew flips it over, now it's going to cook quicker. The non-Jew is cooking it when it's not even kamecha ben desoy yet. So the inference of b'yechan salach is that should be forbidden. How are we saying that it's going to be permitted? Says the Gemara, no hasam over there in Rabbasim Yerchanan's halacha, could go into Eitzvei Besilta. That's talking about if it didn't cook, that inference of his halacha, that if it didn't cook Kamecha ben Desai, is that the Jew cooked it, let's say, for a minute. He's like, no, I don't want to cook this meat. He puts it in a basket. And it's his session of cooking is over. Then the non-Jew goes and takes it and puts it into the oven. That's a whole new act of cooking. And since it was never really cooked yet, even Kamecha ben Desai, it would be a problem with Bishalaka. But in our halacha, where the Jew puts it on the coals, without the non-Jew heating up the fire and turning over the coals, turning over the meat, it would have cooked. It would have just taken a long time. And since it ultimately would have cooked, and it's still in that act of cooking, there's no problem about the non-Jew making it quicker, and it's still considered within the framework of the cooking of the Jew. Says the Gemara, Tanam Halacha, similar in the Brice, like we just said. Manich Yisrael Basa Agab Gecholim, a Jew could put the piece of meat on the coals, and the non-Jew could come and flip it over. He could do the rest of the cooking. Until the Jew comes home from shul, from the study hall, and there's no concern. Again, as we said, because the Jew's act of cooking would have cooked it, it's just the non-Jew's making it quicker. Similarly, the word shafis is when one puts something on top of the fire. So a woman could put a pot on top of the oven, and then her non-Jewish maid could come as you continue to make base umegisa and could stir it and do all the different things of the cooking until the lady of the home comes home from the bathhouse or from shul. She doesn't have to be concerned again, like we said, because since her act would have cooked it eventually, even though the non-Jew is doing all the other acts and making it quicker, that's not a problem. Now, but the question they had was the exact opposite. What's if hinich ayve kachavim? The non-Jew put the meat on the fire. V'hafach Yisrael, and then the Jew flips over the piece of meat. Now, what's the halach over there? So Rav Nach Mitzlik says, kabochemer, all the more so. Gamer b'yad ayve kachavim mutter, if we said just before that, even though it's the non-Jew who's concluding the act of the cooking, it's still going to be permitted, even though the Jew only started the fire, just the first 30 seconds. He really did anything. But we said that that's still going to be permitted, even though the non-Jew is concluding it. So gamar b'yad yisrael l'koshkin, so the conclusion of the Jew isn't all the more so that he's the one who's actually making the cooking, getting it to that point where it's considered cooked, even though the non-Jew put on the fire, for sure that's going to be permitted and not a problem about bishalakim. Itmanami, similarly, we learned, amar rabba b'chanam b'yichanan v'amrilan, some say it was amar v'achim b'chanam b'yichanan, that bein shenich ayve kachavim hafach Yisrael, whether if the non-Jew put the meat on the fire and the Jew flipped it over, or bein shenich Yisrael hafach ayve kachavim, whether the Jew put the meat in the fire and the non-Jew flipped it over, mutter, it's going to be permitted. Ve'ena asa, and it's not forbidden, ashe tehei tchilasai v'gamer b'yad ayve kachavim. It's not forbidden until the beginning and the end was done by a non-Jew. Now, Amar Avina, similarly, Ravina says, hilchos halacha is, harifted the shagar evik achavim, this bread that the non-Jew went and heated up the oven, the afi Yisrael, and then the Jew bakes the bread, or inami, or the other way around. Shag Yisrael, the Jew heats up the fire, vav evik achavim, and the non-Jew does the baking, or inami. Shagar evik achavim, the non-Jew heats up the oven, vav evik achavim, and the non-Jew even bakes it, but the asi Yisrael v'chata b'chituyeh, the Jew at least comes along in the middle, and he stokes the coals, which makes the fire come out of the coals to make a fire. So that's still contributing to the act of the cooking. Shapur dami, that's going to be permitted to consume from that bread. And it's not going to be a problem about bishalakum. Continues the Gemara on this topic. Dog maliach, salted fish where a non-Jew went and salted it. Now, the salting of this fish is what makes it edible without having to cook it. So what's halacha? Says machlokes, chizki yishari. He permits the eating of that salted fish because ultimately this fish wasn't cooked. And the rabbinic gezeira was on bishul akum regarding food that was cooked and this was salted. But Rabbi Yechanan Asr, he says it's forbidden because this salting is its cooking. Usually cooking is done with fire. Here the cooking, making it edible, was done through salt and therefore that would make it prohibited. Be'et sluya, roasted egg, which a non-Jew roasted. So also machlokes baka parashari, he permits the consumption of that egg because since the edible part of the egg is absorbed within the shell of the egg and the non-Jew never touched a food item, it's going to be permitted. But Rabbi Chanasi says it's forbidden because ultimately the roasting, the cooking, was done by a non-Jew and it was not edible before and therefore it's prohibited. Now, but Kiyasa of Dimi, when Avdimi came, he said a different version. He says, Echad deg maliach, whether salting a fish, Vechad beit sluya, whether roasting an egg, Chizkiu ba kapara shari, different than how it was mentioned in the first version. He says that both Chizki and kapara say in both these cases that's permitted. Rabbi Yechanan, in both these cases, Rabbi Yechanan says forbidden. Megmar brings a story regarding this halacha. The Rabbi Chir Parva, Ikla lebe Resh Kalusa, went to the house of the Resh Kalusa, who was in charge of the people in the diaspora, where many times his attendants were very unsavory characters. Amrulay, they said to him, Beit Salimai, what's the halacha? We have an egg over here that was roasted by a non-Jew. What's the halacha? So Amrulay said to them, like this last version, Chizki Bakapar Sharu. Both Chizki and Bakapar permit such an egg that was roasted by a non-Jew. Rabbi Yechanan Asr, and it's only Rabbi Yechanan who says forbidden. Vein Dvarv Shalecha B'makom Shnayim. And we don't consider the opinion of one in the place of two, since it's two against one. So the egg, even though it was roasted by a non-Jew, is going to be permitted. However, Amrulay, Rav Zid said to them, Loi Tzitzisu Lei. Don't listen to him. Because Hachi Amabai, that's what Abai said, Hilchazak Avasid Rabbi Yechanan, Hilchazak Rabbi Yechanan, then it's forbidden. Says the Gemara, Ashkiyuhum, these household members of Resh Kalusa, who were not such high quality people, since he was stringent on them and saying that the roasted egg by the non-Jew was forbidden, they went and they gave Rav Zvid to drink Nogoytu Dechala, a cup of vinegar, Venach Navshe, and he passed away. Continuing on these halachas, Tarnbon Linda Brysa, Kafrisin, which is the protector of the fruit from the types of caper bush, where that shimer, that shell, is commonly eaten in its raw state. Now, there are those who cook it, but that's what we're saying. Even if it's cooked by a non-Jew, it's going to be permitted, because since, like we said, if it's eaten in its raw state, as we said on the top of Amud Aleph, so that would be permitted. Sotu v'hakafloitis, which is leek, which is also eaten in its raw state. Again, therefore, here also, it's not going to be a problem about bishul akum. V'hem talya, which Gemara later on is going to explain what that is. V'achamen, and hot water, where there also doesn't change from its natural state by being heated up. Generally, cooking bishul changes the molecular structure. Here, it stays as it is. It just gets hot. So therefore, that's not considered a change from its original state, as we said in the previous daf. V'akloyis, and roasted grain, which also not changed. It's still the same grain. It's just roasted. Shalahen, of the non-Jews, mutar, and these items are permitted. There's no problem bishul akum in these things. Whereas Beit Sluya Asura, roasted egg, as that opinion we mentioned before, is prohibited because it's roasted and it was not edible beforehand. Shemen, oil, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Beis Din and Nimnu Lavitiru, as we mentioned in the previous staff, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and his court, they counted on this halacha and they permitted, as we said, because Rav of Yisrael did not accept this halacha of making their oil forbidden. Now, Tanu Linda Braisa, Hiamtalaya, this item of Hemtalya, is he Pasilia, is the same thing that's called Pasilia, and he Shiasa, it's the same thing that's called Shiasa. Says Gemara, so what is my Shiasa? What is this thing? There's already 40 years that this thing came out of Egypt, Rabbi Bechana, the Deyamin, Rabbi Bechana himself, who was saying this over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, says, Hashitin Shnin did not forget the Mitzrayim. It's already 60 years that this incident comes out of Mitzrayim, which Shigmar explains, Vele Pligi. It's not that they're disagreeing, it's just Mar Bishne or Mar Bishne. Each one is saying the years, meaning Rabbi Yechanan, who Rabbi Bechana was saying over in his name, had said over 20 years earlier. By Rabbi Yechanan, it was already 40 years. 20 years later, when Rabbi Bechana was saying it, was already 60 years. That what is this? Meaning that they explain that this thing of Shiasa, which again, as we said, since it could be eaten without being heated up, so therefore there's no problem about Bishalakim, is the following dish. Ma'isu bizru de karpasa. They bring the seeds of cress, ubizru de chisna, and the seeds of flax, ubizru de shavlilasa, and the seeds of fenugreek, which is known as tilson. Then betarluhu, they would soak it in water. Behadi hadadi bipshuri altogether in lukewarm water. Vishavkule ad demakbal. Then they would leave it until it sprouts. Umaisi chatzvichat. They would bring new barrels. Umallumai, and they would fill it up with water. Vitarbuhu gargishta. Then they would soak in it clay. Umadbikin. And then they would go and attach these seeds bay into that barrel, into the clay. Vailan lebebani. They would bring it into the bathhouse. By the time they left the bathhouse, malavlavi, it would already be sprouting. The achleminai, they would eat from that sprouted. The kairi, and they would get so cold, mibinsa dereshayu, from the hair on their head, atufer de karai, onto the toenails of their feet. Now, so what the Bryce is teaching us is that even if it was soaked in hot water, which is an element of cooking, it would still be permitted because since it's done, as we see, in cold water or lukewarm water, so then, therefore, there'd be no problem about Bishal Akim because it doesn't need it, and anything that could be done without the cooking is not considered Bishal Akim, even if it's done with cooking. Now, Amr Vashi, regarding this, what we just said, he said, Amr Reb Chanin told me that Milan, that it's just words, meaning it's all lies, because it's not possible that in 1 hour, in one moment, that these things could sprout by being in the bathhouse. Vamrilan, some say, no, what he said was Bimilan, that it's with words. Through incantations of witchcraft, of sorcery, that's how they make it come out, and that's how it is possible for it to sprout in 1 hour. Torah B'Amunon the Brisa, including these halachas, hakuspon, which is the refuse of dates, which had been used to make beer, that refuse, that mark, they would use it, they would scald it, and they would make a drink out of it. So this kuspon shall ebd gechavim of non-Jews, shohuchmu chamen b'yeru g'dayla, that was heated up and hot water in a large vat, usr is forbidden. B'yerukatana mutter, in a small vat, is permitted. So the Gemara explains, v'ezi'yerukatana, what's considered a small vat, and why would that be helpful? Amar Yana, he says, because kol she'in tzibur dro yochel ikon nispetecha. Tzibur dro is from the smallest birds. If this bird cannot fit into this vat, because the opening is very small, so we could definitely assume that nothing non-kosher was cooked in this vat, because almost nothing could fit in there, for us to be concerned that maybe it's going to emit the forbidden taste that were absorbed into this barrel, which now that they're using to make this drink from the date mark, we don't have to be concerned because we don't have to assume that anything non-kosher was put in there because it can't really fit anything even there, because even the small bird, what's called the tzibur dro, cannot fit in there. And that is the Gemara, but why? V'dilma ad-dimuya ad-mua, but maybe whatever non-kosher they were cooking in that vat, maybe they cut into its pieces. Vailu, and that's how they were able to get it and then cook it over there. Now it's going to emit that taste with the hot water that they're using to make this beverage out of the date mark. So El Rav says the Gemara, it's not just that if the tzibur dro cannot fit in there. Kol she'ein roish tzibur dro yochel ukonis b'teichav. Even just the head, not the whole body, even just the head of this small bird called tzibur dro cannot fit in there, so then there's nothing that's non-kosher that's going to be cut up so small like the head of the tzibur dro, and if it's so small, that hole, that even the head of the tzibur dro cannot fit in there, we don't have to think that anything non-kosher was put in there, and that's why the date mark that's heated up in that small vat could be kosher, but in a large one, the problem is that maybe something non-kosher was cooked over there, and it's going to be emitting that taste when they're making this beverage. And that is the Gemara, but the time when the Brisa that says, Achas Yer Gedoyla, V'Achas Yer Ketana Mutter. The Brisa says that when you're making this date mark and this vat, even a large vat is going to be permitted. So that contradicts what we said before, that only by a small vat. Says Gemara, look, it's not difficult. Ha, this first teaching that we said was Kamanda Amma Nisan Tam Lavgam, was going like the one who says that if something gives a deficient taste, which is a machlekes later on of Samachzayin Mabez, in the last parak, that says that any emissions of taste from a non-Jew into what a Jew is cooking with that pot, it's nice and tam lavgam. It gives a bad taste. Why? Because whatever we are assuming that we're taking the pot from the non-Jew is that it was cooked yesterday. So already the taste already got deficient when it was left overnight, except if it was what's called a kederi bas yomei, which was used that day, then it gives a good taste, and yeah, then it would be forbidden. But we assume that it was last used only yesterday, so it's giving a bad taste. Then, but still, the first opinion that we brought holds that usr, it's still going to be forbidden, because it's still giving non-kosher taste into the kosher thing. So yeah, that's why yergadil would be problematic, because it's big enough to have put in non-kosher food. How come on the Amma? The second Brice is like the one who says, Nisan Tam Lavgam, what if it gives a bad taste? That's not the prohibition of having non-kosher taste inside one's kosher food, since it's giving a bad taste anyway, and therefore it's going to be permitted. And that's why, even by Yerugadayla, since it was cooked last yesterday, it's giving a Tam Lavgam, and that's why it's going to be mutter even by a large vat, even if possibly non-kosher food was made in this barrel. Continues the Gemara, Amma of Sheshes, Hai Mishchesh Shalika Darmoy. This cooked, this boiled oil of the Armenians, meaning of non-kosher oil, of oil that was roasted, that was cooked by a non-Jew, usr is forbidden. Now, Amr of Safa, he disagrees. He says, Lamay Nechash, what's the concern for this oil that was boiled? Where oil itself, we said from non-Jews, we said from Yehuda Nasi, is permitted. So what's your concern, the fact that it was boiled? If it's because you're concerned that maybe they mixed in wine into that oil that was boiled, Mr. Sari, actually would spoil the oil, they wouldn't do that. If the concern is because you're saying, well, yeah, natural oil we could buy from them. But when it's boiled, it was cooked up by the non-Jew, and there's a problem about Bishul Akim. On that he says, but nechel hukamashu chai. Oil is eaten in its raw state too. And we said that anything that can be eaten raw, even when it's cooked, is not problematic as Bishul Akim. If the problem is because, no, because when they cook the oil, then it absorbs the taste of the pot that it was cooked in, but nesun tam lafgam hu mutter. Anything that's going to be taking the emissions of the taste that were absorbed in the walls of the pot from the day before gives a bad taste, and that's going to be permitted, and therefore there's no problem, says Rav Safra, in this boiled oil of the Armenians. Continues the Gemara, Bayim name Rabasi. They asked from Basi, Hani ahini shliki darmoy mai. What's the halacha with these dates that were cooked by Armenians, by non-Jews? What's the halacha? So the Gemara explains, Chulye, the sweet dates, loyti baylach. There's no question. The Vadishar, for sure, it's permitted because what's the problem? Bishal Akum? But since it would be eaten in its raw state because they're sweet dates, so obviously there's no problem even if it's cooked. Meriri, if they're bitter dates and they're not eaten in its raw state, and only when it's cooked does it become sweet, so loyti baylach, that's also not a question. The Vadishar, for sure, it's forbidden. Of Bishal Akum. Kiti baylach, when would you ask the question? Mitzi oi, the middle grade, which they're eaten in its raw state only when you have no other choice, but they're much better. They're really only, they're very good when you cook them. My, well, the halacha be over there. So Malhui said to them, my tibayloch, what's your question? The Rebbe Aser, the teacher said it's forbidden. Umano, who's the teacher? Levi, that this is forbidden because the cooking is really what makes it edible, and therefore it's going to be considered a problem about bishalak. Continues the Gemara, shesisa, which is a type of a dish that's made from roasted flour, which the flour is made from roasted grain, which was dried into the oven, and then they grind it down and make flour out of it. And some make it out of lentil flour. Now, since it's very sweet, so it's too sweet, so they would put in vinegar to stabilize the taste. Now, this dish of shesisa, Rav Shari, Rav said it's permitted if a non-Jew makes it. And Avudish Muvalevi Asri, they said it's forbidden. So the Gemara qualifies the machlekes. If the shisisa dish was made out of wheat or barley flour, so there it's not common to put in vinegar. So no one's going to disagree that it's permitted over there because there's nothing forbidden over here. But if it's made out of lentil flour, dechala that has vinegar put inside of it, so there no one's going to disagree that it's forbidden because vinegar is wine and that's the problem about yain nesach of the wine of a non-Jew. Keep ligi, when they disagree, betlafchi demaya, with lentil shesisa, that was made not with vinegar, but with water. Marsa v'gezin ha'atuha, the opinion of Avud Shmuel and Levi, they held that, although it should be permitted, but we're concerned if we let you have the lentil one that's made with water, you might come to take the lentil one that's made with vinegar. Marsa v'gezin, but Rav held that, no, we don't make such a decree, and therefore he said it's permitted. V'gedame, those say a different version. When it's made with lentils, even with water, no one's going to disagree that it's forbidden because
it could be very easily confused. If we let you eat the lentil version, you might confuse the one with water and the one with vinegar. Ki pligi b'chidi v'sari, the machlekes was, even if it's made with wheat or barley. Where Marsa b'gezrin ha'atu ha, Levi and the father Shmuel held that still we should decree on this one, because you might come to have the one with vinegar, which is the one with the lentil one. Marsa b'gezrin, but Rav held that, no, that we're not going to make a decree, because you obviously understand this is the wheat and barley version, and it's not the lentil one, and wheat and barley are never used with vinegar. Now, parenthetically, Amar Rav, Rav says, once we mention shisisa, says, trei mini shisisa. There were two types of shisisa, which again is this dish made out of flour with roasted grain. Shadr Barzila Hagiladi LeDavid. Barzila Hagiladi had sent to David HaMelech. Because it says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, when he was giving all these gifts to David HaMelech, it says he gave him mishkav, bedding, v'safais, and bowls, which were utensils to use for eating, uchle yitzer, and the vessels of a potter, chitim v'sa'arim, wheat and barley, v'kemach, v'kali, and flour, and roasted grain, upul v'adashim, and beans and lentils, v'kali, and roasted grain. So it says kali two times, because those are two different types of shisisa that he sent him. And concludes the Gemara, v'hashtahu d'kamafki, tzani, tzani, l'shugad enadah. Now they go and they carry out baskets and baskets full of this shisisa in the marketplace of Nardah, but less the chayish lo hadavu de Shmuel v'Levi. There's no one that's concerned anymore for this halacha of the father Shmuel and Levi to say that the shisa is forbidden. Rather, they hold like Rav and they go and they permit the shisa of a non-Jew to be consumed. They don't have this gezerah that you might come to take the lentil version that has the vinegar, which then has a problem because of the ayinesach of a non-Jew. Continues the Gemara, our Mishnah said another item that's forbidden to be consumed from a non-Jew is uchafashin, the foods which they preserved, shadarkan losses b'teichinyan, because it's the norm for them to put in wine to go ahead and to allow this thing to be preserved, and therefore that food that was preserved is going to be forbidden to be consumed. Amechiski, he qualifies, he says, leishanu ele shadarkan. This halacha was only if it's the norm for them to add wine. Of Biyadua, but if, let's say, that it was known for sure that they did add wine to this thing that was being preserved, Asafil Banat, then it's going to be forbidden even to have benefit from it, because that's Yain Nesach, which Yain Nesach is even Asafil Bahana, because it's related to Avodah Zarah. Now, ask the Gemara, but Umayishna Memurius, why is it different than Murius, which is the fish oils of a fish, where the majority of the world puts in wine? Which, that's like the same thing as that it's known, not just like that it's Darkon, but it's known. The Shah Rabbanan Banan, and still the Rabbanan, permit one to have benefit from it, just not to eat it. But why? Why is it different than what Chizki is saying, that when you know for sure, it's even Asa Bahana? Says the Gemara, because they're different. Hasam Lavuri Zuama. There, by the Murias, the reason why they add the wine is just to get rid of the foul taste and the odor of the fish. So, essentially, it's just like a neutralizer. But the wine is not intrinsically used. It's just there to equalize and cancel out the zuama of the fish, but the wine is like it's not substantive. And therefore, it's not going to be us even bahana. But hachlim tukei taima. Here, by the chvashin, what you're preserving with, it's there to sweeten the taste. And since it's there to add something substantive, therefore, it's going to be us if you know that it's put in, even bahana. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees with Chizkiya. He says, no, even if it was known that the wine was put into the preserves, not just that it's normative, but it was known, it's still going to be permitted to have benefit. Obviously, one cannot consume it because of the problem about the non-Jewish wine, but it's going to be permitted to have hanah from it. And that is the Gemara, Maish Memorius. Then why is the Memorius L'Remeir? We just asked on Chizkiya from the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is asking on Rabbi Yechonam from the other opinion of Remeir, the Asabana. He says the Murius is forbidden to have benefit from it because it has the non-Jewish wine in it. So that's the same thing as this case when you know the non-Jewish wine was put into the preserves. So why would Rabbi Yechon hold that it's permitted to have benefit from it? So nothing more continues in the Lamed Tesem and Alf, where Rabbi Yechon makes an opposite differential like what Chizkiya did. Hasim Yediyim Amashay. There, by the case of Murius, it's known about the substance of the wine. Because what happens is, when you dip into the murias, you're dipping into the wine. You're consuming that liquid, and the wine is consumed together with the murias. It's a dip. Hachalei dimamashin. Here the substance is not known, meaning because you don't eat the juice of the preserves. You eat only the vegetable that was preserved in the wine. So the vegetable was only put into the wine as a way of maintaining and preserving the vegetable. So though the wine is there, but since it's not consumed, therefore that's not considered part of the product per se, and therefore that product, that what was preserved, is only going to be usher to eat, obviously because it has the blias of the wine, but it would not be usher b'hano, it's not considered as if it's the yayin nesach itself, and that's why Bi'echanan says that even Remei would agree, different than the case of Murius, that the thing that was preserved, although it's forbidden to be eaten, even if it knows, it's known that wine was put in, it's going to be mutter b'hano.